Back here at Fuller Field, so glad that you could join us this evening for the second game of the South Division Championship here in the South Atlantic League. Brian Rushing here with you. I'll be bringing you through this contest on this Thursday night. So let's go ahead and refresh the starting lineup for you for the Hickory Crawdads this evening. It'll be Cam Cawley leading off at second base. Alejandro Osuna will bat second in right field. Maximo Acosta will bat third in the shortstop position. Abimelech Ortiz will bat cleanup. He'll be at first base. Cody Freeman bats fifth at third base. Daniel Mateo in center field. He'll be batting sixth this evening. Hazel Cepeda will bat seventh in left field. Yossi Galan will bat eighth. He'll be the designated hitter this evening. And Cooper Johnson will bat ninth, and he'll do the catching for the Hickory Crawdads. As the Greenville driver on the field, they're finishing up their warm-up tosses, and we're about to get started here on this Thursday night in Greenville, South Carolina. So glad that you could join us on this Thursday evening. It's Cam Cawley. We'll lead things off for the Crawdads. Giordani Monegro will throw his first pitch, a fastball at 94 miles an hour. We're underway, starting a couple minutes behind schedule. 7:07 was our first pitch time. Temperature in Greenville this evening, 78 degrees. So the fastball misses outside. Two balls and no strikes as Monegro looks for a brand new baseball. Cawley comes into this contest 1-for-3 so far in the series. He did have a single, a base on balls, and a stolen base. As the 2-0 is going to get lifted down the right field line, twisting toward the seats. And that's going to make its way into the crowd about five rows deep. Cam Cawley out of Houston, Texas. A third-round draft pick in 2021. Finished up the regular season a .248 hitter with 5 home runs, 24 RBI on the year. Did spend some time before coming to Hickory with the Down East Wood Ducks, who are playing tonight. We'll try to get a score for you here in just a bit as that pitch misses up. And the count goes to 3-1. Leadoff hitter Cam Cawley was in the second spot in the order on Tuesday night. Monegro, fastball, fouled out of the mitt of the catcher. We'll get to the defensive alignments here in just a moment. It's the Crawdads wearing their gray pants, no piping stripe of any sort, black socks. They've got the gray jerseys with the Crawdad claw on the right sleeve, red numbers on the back outlined in white. Crawdads across the front of the jersey. The pitch taken at the knees for strike three. Cam Cawley doesn't agree, but it's a strikeout for Giordani Monegro. And there's one down here in the first inning. Defensive alignment for Greenville this evening. Christian Campbell is in left field. Alan Castro in center. Gilberto Jimenez in right. Tyler Miller over at the hot corner. Edinson Paulino at shortstop. Cutter Coffee at second. Brian Gonzalez at first. Ronald Rosario dropping the signs behind home plate. It's the first pitch from Monegro, taken for a ball to Alejandro Osuna, who was 1-for-4 in the opening contest between these two clubs. It's the breaking ball, catches the outside edge for strike one to even the count at one apiece. That ball driven to the left field corner. That's got a chance of getting down. It'll bounce off the Green Monster. Extra bases for Alejandro Osuna as he gets a one-out double to get things going for the Crawdads. Alejandro Osuna did a very good job of taking that pitch on the outer half and driving it from where it came from. He was able to curl it just inside the foul line, bouncing it off the 310 marker on the Green Monster. And that's going to bring up Maximo Acosta here in the top of the first inning with a runner at second and one on, or one down, I should say. Greenville Drive this evening, they're wearing their white pants with the red piping stripe, the red belts, the red socks. As you might imagine, the white jersey with Drive across the front, numbers in the lower left-hand rib cage. Is that ball driven into left center field? It's going to get down for a base hit. Osuna's going to score easily, trying to get into second. He's going to be 20 feet late in getting there. Maximo Acosta has himself an RBI single. The Crawdads have the 1-0 advantage, but there's two outs, as that was a very ill-advised play from Acosta, trying to see if he could sneak a second base. So there's now two outs in the inning for Abimelech Ortiz. Abimelech 0-3 in Tuesday night's game. He did draw a walk. Already the Hickory Crawdads have two hits in the ballgame as the pitch misses inside. Ortiz, a 290 hitter on the year, 26 homers, 81 runs driven in. As that pitch misses way high as it got past the catcher, Rosario. Ronald Rosario tried to get up out of a seated or out of a crouched position to catch the pitch and couldn't do it. Went all the way to the backstop. Two ball, no strike count to Ortiz. That pitch misses up and in. Ortiz had to bail out, and the count is now 3-0. Monegro is off to a very inauspicious start here in the first inning for the Greenville Drive. Had it not been for that base-running blunder from Acosta, this could become a big inning. As Ortiz will eventually step back into the box once Rosario gets back behind home plate. Crawdads already ahead 1-0, two hits in this inning. They had four hits all of Tuesday night. Ten hits in the whole ballgame. So that fastball at 94 miles an hour covers the outer half to work the count to 3-1. The 3-1 rolled foul sharply over to the first base side. Just like in Hickory, the Crawdads occupying the third base dugout, Greenville over on the first base side. It's customary that the home team here in Greenville occupies the first base dugout. That's actually the dugout that's closest to the clubhouses. At LP Franz Stadium, the clubhouses are just beyond the left field corner. Here at Fluor Field, it's just beyond the right field corner. It's that breaking ball taken for a curveball. Ortiz didn't like that call either. Two strikeouts for Yordani Monegro. So we go to the bottom of the first inning. The Hickory Crawdads have a 1-0 advantage here on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. We'll be right back. Bottom of the first inning here in Greenville. So glad that you could join us on this Thursday night. Brian Rushing here with you. A lively crowd here at the ballpark. Probably, I've been here numerous times. We're probably looking at something around 4,000 to 5,000. A lot of folks on the berm with their blankets. A lot of folks in under the tents celebrating a company outing or anything of that nature as Emiliano Teodo throws a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. Get ready, folks. It's coming in fast. Teodo, 100 miles an hour, misses high. And he is getting oohs and ahs from everybody here in the crowd, as you might imagine. Fastball fouled back to the screen at 101 miles an hour. Teodo, out of the Dominican Republic, a non-drafted free agent in 2020, as that ball's going to get lifted toward the berm over on the left side. It'll be out of play. No ball, two strike count. To the leadoff hitter for Greenville, Edinson Paulino was 1-for-4 on Tuesday with a stolen base. That ball rolled foul over to the first base side. So it's Paulino, Cutter Coffee, Alan Castro, top third of the order, Brian Gonzalez, Tyler Miller, Ronald Rosario, middle third of the order, Christian Campbell, Gilberto Jimenez, and Nick Decker, bottom third of the order. Deodo's pitch just misses the outside edge. See, threw the changeup, 85 miles an hour. Count goes to 1-2. Another changeup misses down and away. As the count evens at 2-2, there's a bit of disappointment in the air from the fans. They don't want to see him throw an 86-mile-an-hour changeup. They want the gas. That ball's dribbled foul near the third base bag at 100 miles an hour. This is my first look at Emiliano Teodo. I was told that he throws hard. I think somebody was sandbagging me. Here's the 2-2. Sad ball. Ripped down the line. Foul. It was an 85-mile-an-hour changeup. The changeup can be ultra-effective if he's just off the plate with it or just down in the zone. Paulino's having to really cheat and get his hands moving quickly. Anticipation of the fastball. It's that fastball, 100 miles an hour, cut on and missed. Strikeout, first out here in the first inning. That'll bring up Cutter Coffee. Second round draft pick out of 2022 out of Bakersfield, California. Was 0-for-4 in the game on Tuesday. Is that fastball? Or I should say changeup. Taken for a strike on the outer third. Teodo, fastball at 101, pours it down the middle. When you throw 101, I think location doesn't really matter as much at this level. Is that fastball? It's dribbled off the bat of Coffee. Coffee, in his brief time with the Drive this season, a 136 hitter, no home runs, 5 RBI. Here at Fluor Field this evening, an exacting replica of Fenway Park. Is that pitch, slider, taken down? When you've got an 88-mile-an-hour slider, that's going to be good most nights, if you can locate it where you want it. The 1-2. Slider misses down again. Count evens at 2 balls and 2 strikes. Hickory on the board. 1-0. So they got an RBI single by Maximo Acosta. So the pitch misses, and the count now runs full at 3-2. The pitch timer forces pitchers to work quickly, especially with nobody on base, but Teodo probably doesn't have an inclination to do anything other than pitch quickly as that ball lifted out to left field, drifting back on the play as Jesel Cepeda, and there's two down. Defensively, for the Crawdads in this ballgame. Heysel Cepeda in left, Daniel Mateo in center. Alejandro Osuna is over in right field. Cody Freeman at third. Maximo Acosta at shortstop. Cam Colley at second. Abimelech Ortiz over at first. Cooper Johnson doing the catching this evening for Teodo. It's the slider. Misses down. It's the fastball taken high. Crawdads, of course, wearing their black hats tonight to go with their road gray uniforms. Grenville Drive, when they're in the field, wearing their home reds, as that ball is going to be fouled off the foot of Alan Castro. Castro tied the game up on Tuesday evening. Castro took a fastball from Jose Corniel and drove it off the third tier of signage in right field, making it a one-run ball game. It's that pitch. Fouled into the mitt of Johnson. Count goes to 2-2. Castro's homer in the fourth inning tied it up. One of just 6 hits for the drive in that ballgame. It's that fastball poured to the inner third. Strike 3 at 100 miles an hour. 101 to be exact. We've played an inning here in Greenville. 1-0 Crawdads. We'll be back in just a minute on the Crawdads Radio Network. Back here in Greenville, top of the second inning. A 1-0 lead for the Hickory Crawdads on this Thursday night. The Greenville Drive win tonight. The series is over. They await the result coming out of the Northern Division, which of course is game 2 between Jersey Shore in Hudson Valley. Jersey Shore got the win on Tuesday night, 2-1, winning that one late over Hudson Valley. The Renegades will try to level this thing out in the Northern Series. Tonight, the Crawdads, it's a win or done. You go home. If you don't win tonight, if they do win tonight, game 3. It's the breaking ball from Jordani Monegro, taken for a ball inside. 82-mile-an-hour breaking pitch. It's another breaking ball to the outer third, taken for a strike. Cody Freeman, 0-for-3 in the game on Tuesday, did have a run scored and a walk in that 3-2 loss to the Greenville Drive. It's that breaking ball almost got a piece of Freeman. As Jordani Monegro is having a very difficult time trying to find the strike zone. Jordani does not throw nearly as hard as Teodo does. That ball's lifted out into left field. Coming on is Christian Campbell. He'll make the catch for the first out here in the second inning. Of course, this evening's playoffs on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network brought to you by Allison White Property Management and Realty, Duke's Restaurant and Wine Bar, Holler Financial Group, Sheds Direct, Pepsi, Whitfield's Flowers and More in WHKY, Talk Radio AM 1290 and 102.3 FM. It's the pitch to Daniel Mateo, misses inside. On a night like this in Hickory, you'd see Conrad the Crawdad making his way around the concourse and up and down the stands at LP Franz Stadium. Well, the Greenville Drive have Reedy Rippet as their mascot, a frog representing the Greenville Drive. He is up on top of the monster seats here at Fluor Field. I'll give you a full description of the ballpark as we get deeper into the contest. It's Monegro throws that pitch. It's twisting to the right field corner, out of play. 3-1 count to Daniel Mateo. Mateo had a triple on Tuesday night. A run scored. It's 1-for-4 in the ballgame. Negro has the pitch. That ball bounced back up to shortstop. Paulino Fields throws across his body in time to retire Daniel Mateo. And there's two down in the inning. And that'll bring up Heisel Cepeda. Cepeda 0-for-4, I should say, in Tuesday night's game.
The left fielder, Heisel Cepeda.
Fluor Field, I mentioned, an exacting replica of Fenway Ballpark. And it is pretty much in every way. I think the only significant difference outside of the obvious seating capacity is I believe Fenway seats around 35,000. It's the breaking ball taken for a strike. This ballpark seats a capacity of about 7,500 as that ball lifted into shallow center field, but drifting back and making a phenomenal play is Cutter Coffey as he robs a hit from Heisel Cepeda. We played an inning and a half here at Fluor Field. We come back on the other side of the break, bottom of the second inning. Between the Greenville Drive and the Hickory Crawdads, the Crawdads have the 1-0 advantage. We'll be back in just a moment.
Bottom of the second inning.
Hickory Crawdads with the 1-0 advantage. Brian Gonzalez to lead things off for the Greenville Drive. The Greenville Drive won their last South Atlantic League championship back in 2017. It's that fastball at 100 miles an hour from Emiliano Teodo taken for a strike. 2017 was the Drive's last championship. 2015, the Hickory Crawdads at 1-0-1. The count goes to 0-2. A lot of triple digits on the board. Teodo, the 0-2 pitch. That ball bounced over the head of Teodo, and it's going to be bobbled by Cam Cawley. As he tried to navigate around the second base bag, couldn't field it cleanly. We'll wait on the scoring. So they're going to give it a hit for Brian Gonzalez. That's Gonzalez. Or correction, they're going to score it an error. My apologies. They're going to make it an error on Cauley as they've recently had a change to the manual scoreboard here in Greenville. It's the fastball from Teoto at 101. Misses down. Tyler Miller was 0 for 3 in Tuesday night's game. A walk and a run scored. Teoto comes set with the runner at first. Slider misses down. Count goes to 2-0. Abimelech Ortiz holding on Gonzalez at first. Left-handed batter Miller at the plate. Crawdads running the pull shift. Is that fastball taken up? Now, this is an interesting dynamic and something that you might think would run counter to the new school of thinking. If you've got a guy throwing 100, 101, would you necessarily want to run a pull shift? It's the fastball taken at 99 for a strike, runs the count at 3-1. The Crawdads are convicted to run the pull shift. We'll see what Miller does in response. He waits on the 3-1 offering, fastball, tried to roll it foul, or tried to roll it to the right side, rolls it foul to the first base coach's side, and the count runs full. 1-0 Hickory lead here at Fluor Field. A very good crowd on this Thursday night. Here's the payoff. Misses just inside. Cooper Johnson held it there for an extra moment to give the home plate umpire an opportunity to be absolutely sure that that was a ball. It'll be a walk. It's the first allowed by Teoto. Runners at first and second. That brings up Ronald Rosario. So Rosario steps to the plate, a right-handed batter. It's the pitch, a fastball down in the dirt. And now Teoto is going to have a bit of a conference going on the bump, as every infielder and catcher is going to make their way onto the mound to try to see if they can settle down Emiliano Teoto. This will give me an opportunity to kind of lay out the picture of what Fluor Field looks like here in Greenville. Much like Fenway Park, you've got at least a 30-foot-high wall that is in left field, part of the Green Monster. There is a manual scoreboard out in left field. A little bit of advertising on the wall, as you might imagine. There are seats atop the monster. On top of that, you've got condominiums built behind the left field wall to where you can sit out on your porch or sit up on the deck as the slider is in the dirt. The count goes to 2-0. You can actually sit on the rooftop, get yourself a cold beverage, and take a gander at what's going on down below you at Fluor Field. It's a really beautiful setting here as it relates to the more modern uptown stadiums. As this ballpark opened in 2006, it's the off-speed pitch at 86 miles an hour taken for a strike, 2-1 the count. L.P. Franz Stadium, about 13 years the senior of this ballpark here in Greenville. It's the breaking ball taken for strike two to even the count at 2-2. Rosario, runners at first and second. Nobody down, waits on the pitch, bounces it back to the shortstop. Fielding the ball there is Maximo Acosta. He's got only one play. He retires Rosario 6-3. The runners move up 90 feet. And that sets up Christian Campbell. Christian Campbell, in his time with Greenville in the regular season, was a 267 hitter with a home run and three RBI. However, he was the offensive star of the game on Tuesday night for either club. As he pushes that pitch, foul over to the right side, 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Campbell had two singles, a double that he would actually score on with a throwing error coming out of right field, as he would give Greenville a 2-1 lead, a lead that they would not relinquish, as that breaking ball taken for a strike works the count to 0-2, much to the dismay of the home crowd here at Fluor Field. Campbell back in the box, waits on the pitch from Teodo. Here it comes as that ball lifted over the head of Cam Cawley. One run's going to score. Two runs are going to score. The Greenville drive have a 2-1 advantage. Christian Campbell has his fourth hit of the series, and he has done much of the damage for the drive in this playoff. And again, you take a look at what Christian Campbell did there. It wasn't the most picturesque swing imaginable. As Teodo poured a fastball in on the hands, Campbell was able to keep his hands inside the baseball for the most part. He got the barrel of the bat to the ball and was able to flare it out over the head of Cam Cawley. The two runners score. It's a 2-1 lead for the Greenville drive. That'll bring up Gilberto Jimenez. So one down here in the bottom of the second inning. The drive already on top, 2-1. Teodo decides to throw over to first. Jimenez batting left. The right fielder in this contest. Did Jimenez check the swing? In fact, he did. The umpires this evening, Christian Argueza is behind home plate. First base, Warren Eubanks. Jalen Goodman is at second. Chad Westlake, the umpire over at third. A four-man crew for the playoffs. Zad Ball. A broken bat single out into left field. Advancing to second is Christian Campbell. And the drive has a rally going here in the second inning. It started with the error from Cam Cawley. You add on a walk and a couple of singles, and it's already a crooked number for the drive, and they've got a chance to threaten for more. As Nick Decker will step to the plate. Decker on Tuesday night went 0-for-3 in the contest. It's the fastball, I should say the changeup, taken for a strike. Ten hits in the game total on Tuesday night. As the pitch misses down. One ball and one strike to count. Nick Decker out of Southampton, New Jersey. As he lifts that ball over the awning here at Fluor Field. When you go beyond the monster out into left center field, you've got about a 15-foot high wall, maybe 16 feet, that wraps all the way around center field, forming a bit of a batter's eye with a black backdrop above that wall. And then you get into the deepest part of the ballpark, which just offset of center field to the right side. A 420 shot is what it takes to hit it out here at Fluor Field. Very similar to what you would see at Fenway Ballpark. The bullpens are just beyond the right field wall. As the breaking ball misses up, the count goes full to 3-2. Ultimately, when you get around to the right field corner, you'll see an homage to Pesky's pole here at Fluor Field, some 300 feet away. So it's 310 down the left field line, 300 down the right field line. That ball is going to roll. Colley makes a great play, but the throw is up the line, off the bag, is Abimelech Ortiz, and the bases are now loaded. I didn't know that Cam Colley was going to be able to get to the baseball. He was. However, his momentum was carrying him toward the right field corner, and his throw was offline. They'll give a hit, I believe. Wow. They're giving that an error. Well, if you're talking to Cam Colley when he gets back in the dugout, you just have to say hang with him. I have no idea how in the world that's going to be called an error. Colley ranged out full dive into the hole on the right field side to flag it down, and his throw was offline. It's that ball driven into left center field. It's going to get down for extra bases off the GE side. One run will score. Two runs will score. Coming around third, heading home is Decker. He scores, and it's a 5-1 lead for the Greenville Drive. As they have really gotten the better of Emiliano Theodo here in the early part of this ball game. A 5 spot for the Greenville Drive, and that's going to spell the end of the night for Theodo. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll tell you who's coming on to pitch here in the bottom of the second inning. One down, a 5-1 Greenville lead. We'll be back in just a bit.
Second baseman,
5-1 ball game here in the bottom of the second inning as they call on Juan Mejia, the left-hander, for the Crawdads. It's the first pitch, a changeup, cut on and missed by Cutter Coffey. Well, this inning went from bad to worse for the Crawdads. Now they're going to try to see if they can stop the bleeding here in the bottom of the second inning. A 5-1 drive lead in a game that they cannot afford to fall behind for any real length of time. As that ball driven out in the center field, they'll have a chance to double the runner up at second, and they'll do it easily. That's a good break for the Crawdads, as running on the pitch was Edinson Paulino trying to steal third. The ball lined to center field, where it was caught by Daniel Mateo. Mateo makes the catch, throws to Cam Colley. to retire Paulino. It's an 8-4, or I should say an 8-4 double play to end the frame. We come back to third inning, a 5-1 drive lead. We'll be back on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. Top of the third inning, and the Crawdads have some work to do. As Greenville sends eight men to the plate in the second inning, scoring five of them. As I lead it off with Yossi Galan. Galan went 1-for-3 in Tuesday night's game. He had a walk and a run driven in. It's the slider, cut on and missed. Galan finished the season a .247 hitter with six homers and 24 RBI. But now Yordani Monegro has an opportunity with a big lead here to just continue to pound the strike zone and let his defense work behind him. Here's the 1-2. That ball's going to be fouled off the foot of Galan. Yossi Galan got the offense going for Hickory in the second inning on Tuesday as he rolled the ball through the left side of the infield. That ball rolling through the left side of the infield would score Cody Freeman, who opened the second inning with a walk. That ball hits sharply down the third baseline. It'll go off the sidewall padding. Galan takes a big turn at first, but I think he learned a lesson from earlier. He decided to retreat back to first base and is definitely the more prudent play for Galan. He has his second hit of the series. He leads off the third with a sharp single down the third baseline. That'll bring up Cooper Johnson. Cooper Johnson walked and drove in a run. He drove in a run in the eighth inning. He made it a 3-2 ball game with that RBI ground out. He would also bat again in the ninth inning, would close out the contest with a strikeout. It's the slider taken for strike one. So glad that you could join us here this evening at Fluor Field for game two of the South Division Championship Series. As the throw over to first is going to go off the leg of Galan and down the third baseline. Galan is hobbling. He's going to have to sit down on top of the second base bag. That might have gotten him right in the ankle. It's going to be an error on the throw over to first by Monegro. And if Galan had had his full capacity as far as running the bases, he might have been able to get over to third. This is a ballpark here at Fluor Field that does have more foul territory than what you see at LP Fran Stadium. From the dugout to the foul line, there is more space. More balls can be caught. However, it tapers off so sharply once you get behind the first base bag is it basically runs at about a 45-degree angle all the way out to about 250 feet down the line. And then from that point to Pesky's pole or to the left field corner, you're probably looking at maybe 6 feet of space between the foul line and the restraining wall. So Monegro is going to throw some warm-up tosses while they examine Gallant. Gallant is down at second, reaching on the base hit, getting to second on the throwing error. For those of you tuning in late, it's a 5-1 Greenville Drive lead. This is how it started. Bottom of the second inning, Brian Gonzalez would reach on an error. Now, I thought that was a legitimate error on Cam Cauley. Then there was a walk, a ground out of Ronald Rosario, put runners at second and third, and then Christian Campbell, who has really done damage for the Drive in the series against the Crawdads, got a 2-RBI single, followed by another single by Gilberto Jimenez into shallow center field, and then a ball by Nick Decker that was running through the hole on the right side was fielded by Cauley. Now, I want to give you some context here because this is important as it relates to the individual scoring of the contest. If that ball goes off the heel of Cauley's glove after laying out for it, then that's going to be a base hit. But Cauley, because of his extra effort, actually fielded the ball and threw the ball to first base. Abimelech Ortiz was pulled off the bag. They gave Cauley credit for an error on that play. Now, again, ultimately, it benefits the Crawdads in a way. The runs would have gone as unearned as nobody knows where the ball is. And now, all of a sudden, coming up at the last second is Brian Gonzalez to make the play. That ball got up into the sky here to where the lights have not taken full effect yet. There's a lot of gray in the sky. Cutter Coffey lost the baseball. Brian Gonzalez had to scramble out to shallow right field. The right fielder, Gilberto Jimenez, he didn't have much of an idea of where the ball was either. Gonzalez was able to make the catch. And there's one down here in the top of the third. And that'll take us back to the top of the order for Cam Cauley. It's the pitch from Monegro, taken for a strike, a breaking ball. Cauley struck out looking his first time up. The big blow in the contest so far has been Edinson Paulino's bases clearing double to make it what was at that time a 5-1 ballgame, which is where we stand at the moment. It is an imperative for Hickory to try to respond with something on the scoreboard here in this inning. You cannot allow Greenville to build momentum by putting up another zero here in the third inning. Gallant takes his lead at second, a very conservative lead at this point. Cauley chases after the elevated fastball, swings and misses on the 94-mile-an-hour heater, and falls behind 1-2. Both clubs have 3 hits in the ballgame, which is well past halfway of what we had in Tuesday night's contest. So the pitching definitely dominated in Tuesday night's ballgame. Fastball misses in tight, count evens at 2-2. A breaking ball rolled out to third, fielded by Tyler Miller. The throw across in time to Gonzalez. Gonzalez had to use the first base bag to bounce up and elevate himself to receive the throw. Gallant stays at second, and there's 2 down. And that'll bring up Alejandro Osuna. Osuna doubled into the left field corner, his first and only time up. He would ultimately score the lone run for the Crawdads so far in this ballgame. A 5-1 Greenville lead. Crawdads trying to see what they can do here now with 2 out. Yordani Monegro with the breaking ball taken for strike 1. Probably going to be about another 20 minutes or so before the lights take full effect. Sunset in these parts around 7:30 now. But by the time the sun actually gets out of the picture, it's about 8 o'clock. 8:15 at the absolute latest. Another thing that there is to consider is the on-field scoreboard in right center field, the Jumbotron, if you will, reflects off the windows of the condominiums, creating some glare issues at certain points for the hitters and the catcher. As the pitch misses outside, a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. 2-ball, 1-strike count. This crowd is teeming with people, a good crowd here, especially for a game that was not on the refrigerator magnet schedule. That slider cut on and missed. Count evens at 2-2. We talked about it on Tuesday night, but it bears repeating. The playoffs aren't necessarily anything you can put on a magnet schedule. You can't guarantee you're going to be there, and you can't guarantee the dates in which you play. The Crawdads had no time, really, to prepare. They started selling playoff tickets about a week and a half in advance of clinching, but the Greenville Drive, who have always drawn well here, had about 3 months to prepare for this opportunity for playoff baseball, and they have certainly done their due diligence. This place, I'm going to say probably more than 5,000 in the ballpark this evening. Because now that everyone has settled in, I would say we're not too far off from a sellout. The 2-2. Breaking ball misses outside, works the count full. Yossi Galan down at second base in a 5-1 ball game in favor of the Greenville Drive. If the Drive win tonight, the Crawdads season comes to a close. The Crawdads trying to hang on for their playoff lives in this contest. The slider cut on and missed. A strikeout of Alejandro Osuna. We go to the bottom of the third inning. A 5-1 Greenville lead. We'll be back in just a bit on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. Bottom of the third inning, a 5-1 lead for the Greenville Drive. It's the first pitch from Juan Mejia taken for strike one. Alan Castro, strikeout victim, looking his only time up in the contest. Mejia on, as that pitch is going to get a piece of Castro. He's going to get down to first base. As Mejia tried to work it down and in and pulled on it a little bit too hard. The hit by pitch will put the leadoff runner on at first, and that'll bring up Brian Gonzalez. Mejia comes into the contest after having made 13 appearances. As that ball chopped over to second, Cam Cauley fields it, gets it over to first in time as Brian Gonzalez was busting it down the line. First out of the inning, runner over at second is Alan Castro. That brings up Tyler Miller. Juan Mejia, in 13 appearances, made two starts, went 3-0 on the season, a 4.00 ERA. 36 innings, 33 hits, 17 runs, 16 earned. He walked 10 and struck out 34. A 2.41 average against, a 1.19 whip on the season. And he is going to have to try to eat some innings up here for the Hickory Crawdads. It's the breaking ball. Misses inside. Mejia out of Cotuí, Dominican Republic. An 11th round draft pick in 2019. That fastball is going to be pushed over to the left side near Reedy's clubhouse. This is a ballpark that very similarly to L.P. Franz Stadium has a lower level that extends pretty much from beyond the third baseline to the left side all the way down toward the what would be the bullpen areas at L.P. Franz Stadium. However, there's a second deck here that is filled with corporate suites and that have actually had additions built over the last 7 to 8 years. I spent a number of games here in between 2013 and 2017. And those additions just kept piling on as Tyler Miller swings and misses on that sweeping breaking ball. He's the second out of the inning. And that'll bring up Ronald Rosario. He grounded out to shortstop, his only time up. Two down here in the bottom of the third inning, a 5-1 Greenville Drive lead. Mejia, out of the set position, delivers. Fastball catches the outside edge for strike one. Rosario this season was a .260 hitter with three homers and 33 RBI. Fastball, a little tardier there on the 90-mile-an-hour fastball. Falls behind 0-2. A lively crowd here at the ballpark. Many of the additions that they've made have actually been outside the ballpark in recent year here at Fluor Field. That ball's going to be lifted into the seats on the first base side. One of the things that they had done here since my time in Greenville is there was a street running along the first base side. They have closed that street off. There was also a Shoeless Joe Jackson Museum that was on that street. It's now been replaced by an apartment complex, a rather posh apartment complex here in the Uptown area, the west end of Uptown. And they moved the Shoeless Joe Jackson Museum up the block to the top of the road. So it's not authentically the home that allegedly the legend has. Shoeless Joe Jackson spent some time growing up there. It's been moved up to the top of the road. That ball shot off the screen on the first base side. Hickory trying to get out of this third inning with no harm done. Perhaps this club can get the bats to awaken here in the middle innings of this ball game. As the fastball gets away from Johnson, Alan Castro gets over to third on the wild pitch. The count goes to 1-2. Two down here in the bottom of the third inning, a 5-1 Greenville lead. Greenville, the first half winner. Their record was not an amazing win-loss mark in the first half. They were 36-30. It was a real battle of attrition in the South Division. But they were on top, 36-30, to win the first half. When you combine the first and the second half records, Greenville is just the fourth best team in the division, finishing six games under 500 for the year. As that ball lifted foul to the right side, coming over to try to make the play, is Alejandro Osuna. It'll fall into the seats about three rows back. Now, the Hickory Crawdads, in contrast, didn't have a particularly good first half of their season. They were seven games under 500 at 27-34. However, in the throes of the midway point of the season, wrapping up the first half and beginning the second half, the pitch fouled off to the first base side, out of play. In the process of closing out the first half of the year and getting the second half started, this Crawdads team won 15 consecutive games dating from June 18th to July 7th. Now, this was a club that, ironically enough, finished 15 games over 500, had the best record in the South Division at 70-55. As that ball's going to be chopped foul at home plate as it rolls over toward the Crawdads dugout. If you take away that 15-game win streak, the Crawdads become little more than a 500 ball team. But it was that 15-game streak that set the course for this club to win the second half. Mejia comes set, the pitch, bounced back over the head of Mejia. Colley comes on, fields it with the snow cone, flips it over to first in time to Ortiz to retire the side. Hickory leaves a runner on of the Greenville drive. We've played three here at Fluor Field. The drive have a 5-1 advantage. We'll be back on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. Top of the fourth inning. The Greenville drive with the 5-1 advantage. Brian Rushing here with you. So glad that you could join us on this Thursday night. Hickory Crawdads baseball during the playoffs is brought to you by Allison White Property Management and Realty, Duke's Restaurant and Wine Bar, Holler Financial Group, Sheds Direct, Pepsi, Whitfield's Flowers and More, and WHKY Talk Radio AM 1290 and 102.3 FM. It's the slider from Yordani Monegro, taken for a ball. Counts 2-0. to Maximo Acosta. Acosta drove in the lone run of the ball game. Side breaking ball misses inside. The count goes to 3-0. Acosta, in a game that has been filled with little things that have affected it for the Hickory Crawdads, hit a ball into left center field. He's going to reach on a four-pitch walk to start out the fourth inning. He hit a ball to left center field that scored Alejandro Osuna easily. However, Acosta, a little too ambitious, decided to try to leg out a double, and he was thrown out by about 20 feet. Abimelech Ortiz will step to the plate. As it turns out, Ortiz would strike out to wrap up the first inning. However, Ortiz batting with a runner at first and one out, being a left-handed batter in the right side of the infield, potentially exposed, could have been a different dynamic to play with, as opposed to two outs and nobody on. The first pitch to Ortiz was a strike, breaking ball. Pulled the string a little bit on that pitch, did Monegro. And it's an 0-2 count to Abimelech Ortiz. Ortiz, one of the true power hitters of the South Atlantic League this season. 23 long balls, 81 RBI on the season for a 290 hitter on the year. Still looking for his first hit of this series, and it won't come in this at-bat. 95-mile-an-hour fastball from Monegro. It's cut on and missed, and there's one down here in the fourth inning. And that'll bring up Cody Freeman. Freeman flew out to left field his only time up in the ballgame. It's the first offering to Freeman, taken for a ball. I promised you we would get scores from around minor league baseball as it relates to Texas Rangers affiliates. The Downeast Wood Ducks have a one-game advantage on Carolina, the Mudcats. They're playing game two right now. Bottom of the fifth inning in Kinston. Downeast is down 2-0 to the Mudcats. The Mudcats, the minor league affiliate for the Milwaukee Brewers. Also in that Carolina League series, the Charleston River Dogs and the Myrtle Beach Pelicans playing in Myrtle Beach. Myrtle Beach has a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the fifth inning. The River Dogs, an affiliate of the Tampa Rays, they have the one-game advantage there. That fastball poured right down Main Street, taken for a strike, count 3-1. Around the South Atlantic League, we can give you the North Division score. That ball hits sharply through the left side of the infield. Cody Freeman has his first knock of the series. Getting to second is going to be Maximo Acosta. And that'll bring up Daniel Mateo. So perhaps here an opportunity for the Crawdads to get on the board and tighten this margin. The bad news for Hickory is the obvious. You're down four. The good news is there's still time to claw back into this one. If they were somehow able to scratch across two runs here, cut the lead in half, you then become a bloop and a blast away from knotting this one up. That ball almost hit the third base umpire, Chad Westlake. That ball was hooking right at Westlake. Westlake, by the time it was over, evaded the baseball about 4 feet off the baseline. Hudson Valley has a 3-1 lead on Jersey Shore as they've scored runs in the second, third, and fourth inning. That game is in the bottom of the fifth right now. Jersey Shore with the one game to nothing advantage. Zad slider cut on and missed. Count goes to 0-2. Mateo grounded out to short in his first at-bat. We talked about the minor league affiliates for the Texas Rangers franchise and how well things have been going for certain teams as that breaking ball is fouled off at the plate to keep the count at 0-2. You know, we mentioned the Round Rock Express, a club that is 27 games over 500 and still in second place in their division. That's a phenomenal record. Fastball, cut on and missed. Mateo goes down swinging, two out in the inning. That'll bring up Hazel Cepeda. Cepeda hit a soft line drive in a very shallow center field that the second baseman, Cutter Coffey, was able to make a ranging catch to hang on to. As that closed out the second inning. Cepeda drives the ball deep. Could it be? It's off the top of the wall. One run is going to score. They're going to hold up the runner at third. Cepeda's going to cruise into second, and it's a 5-2 ball game. That ball was stung. And to be quite honest with you, if we're in LP Franz Stadium, that might have very well been a 3-run shot. However, we're not. It's a ringing double just above the Spink sign, making it a 5-2 ball game, but the threat continues with Yossi Galan at the plate. It's the fifth hit for the Crawdads in this contest. The first hit for Cepeda in the series. Another base knock for Galan here. And we could have ourselves a one-run ball game. Is that breaking ball? Down the third baseline, just foul. Maybe 2 feet. As that was incredibly close to hugging just inside the third base back. It's the pitch from Monegro. It's fouled back over the press box area here. At Fluor Field, they've got me in the visiting radio booth, and I've got to say, the visiting radio broadcaster here is treated quite well. I have literally the best seat in the house. I am looking straight down the middle. I can pretty much call the pitch for the umpire if I was pressed into duty. Here's the pitch. This is outside. Count evens at 2-2. Crawdads trying to climb back into this contest, down by three here in the top of the fourth inning. Monegro, slider, cut on and missed by Galan to close out the side, but not before the Crawdads scratch a runner across. 5-2 ball game as we go to the bottom of the fourth. We'll be back in just a bit on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. Bottom of the fourth inning. It's the Hickory Crawdads. Chad Comer, the manager, goes to the bullpen to bring on Skyler Hales. Hales, a Reno, Nevada native, drafted in 2023. Is leading off the fourth inning for the Greenville Drive is Christian Campbell. Campbell had one of the big blows in the second inning. So he got a two RBI single to get the Greenville Drive on the board and in the lead. That was part of that five-run second inning. It's Campbell at the plate with four hits already in this series. As that ball slashed over to the right field side. And if you're looking for a, I don't want to call it a contemporary comparison to a Major League Baseball player that some of you might be familiar with, I'm probably going to be speaking to some of the dads out there. The kids, not so much. So the pitch is going to be chopped as Christian Campbell pretty much knocked that one out of the mitt of the catcher as he let it get that deep. So dads, I'll talk to you for just a second. Picture a player with the pants up to his knees, long red socks. As the pitch cut on and missed. Strikeout is the first out of the fourth inning. I'll go back to the Campbell comparison here a little bit later on. I'll let you guys marinate on it. Stepping to the plate will be Gilberto Jimenez. As Jimenez lifts that ball into shallow left field, drifting back as Acosta. Acosta will make the catch, and there's quickly two down. I like what I've seen early from Skyler Hales. Hales spent some time with Down East. And looking for some stats on Hales, I was not able to find anything from the regular season. He did not pitch on Tuesday. It's the pitch taken for a strike to Nick Decker. Chad Comer going to call on this youngster who was brand new to the Texas Rangers organization. It's the slider cut on and missed. The 0-2 catches the outside edge, and just like that, Skyler Hales gets through the fourth inning pretty quickly. We go to the fifth. It's a 5-2 lead for the Greenville Drive here on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. We'll be right back. Folks, this is the chance in the ball game as we go to the top of the fifth inning where you have an opportunity to reach out to me here in the broadcast booth. We did this on Tuesday, and I got to say, I was happy to hear from some of you. later in the broadcast. I want to say hello to Ethan Benfield, who reached out to me as he was checking out the game from Lenoir, North Carolina, just north of Hickory. Ethan, hope you're listening tonight. Hope you're enjoying the broadcast, even if the result right now is not what you were looking for. Crawdads, I have a feeling, will make a little noise in this contest. It's Cooper Johnson will lead things off here in the fifth inning. It's the pitch from Yordani Monegro. Cut on and missed for a strike, and immediately Cooper Johnson's going to take time out. The pitch timer rules have certainly sped things up. You get 14 seconds between pitches with nobody on base, 18 with runners on base. The breaking ball misses high to even the count at 1-1. The batter has to be prepared to hit at the 8-second mark. Here's the offering. Breaking ball misses outside. Count goes to 2-1. Johnson popped to first out in shallow right field his first time up. That fastball misses up. The count goes to 3-1. Yordani Monegro, despite the fact that he ran into some rough patches in the early innings, has settled down quite nicely. As Johnson's going to rip a ball into left field, he gets a leadoff single. Johnson drove that 93-mile-an-hour fastball into left field pretty quickly. He knew it was coming on 3-1, and he jumped all over it. He gets the leadoff single, and it takes us back to Cam Cauley at the top of the order. That ball rolled out to shortstop. Fielded by Paulino. The throw across to Coffey. In time, a 6-4-3 double play. As Cam Cauley hit it sharply, then he hit a two-bouncer to Paulino. Paulino got it to Coffey, and Coffey, the relay over to first in time to Gonzalez. A tailor-made 6-4-3 double play. There's two down in the fifth. That'll bring up Alejandro Osuna, who is 1-for-2 in the ballgame with a double, a run scored, and a strikeout. So Osuna fouls the pitch back, evens the count to 1-1. For those of you that are tuning in, would like to reach out to me during the second half of this contest, I would love to hear from you. You can find me on what was Twitter or X. If you'd like to, send a post my way as Osuna lifts that ball down the left field line, and it's going to make its way into the berm. So that ball was twisting foul. I told you earlier in the broadcast that once you get out to about the 250-foot mark, the wall juts directly out parallel to the foul line, and there's only about 6 feet of foul territory. The left fielder, Christian Campbell, ran out of space and was not able to make the grab. However, if we were at a Savannah Bananas game, it would have been an out because the youngster in the crowd made the catch, which would have retired the batter. So the fastball misses up. Count evens at 2-2. Two runs on six hits, two errors for the Crawdads, 5-3-1 for the drive. It's the changeup, cut on and missed as Osuna strikes out again. We're halfway through, and now we're having a conversation on the at home plate between Osuna and the pitcher, Yordani Monegro, as it's really more Osuna doing the talking. Whatever the case may be, we're halfway through this ball game, a 5-2 lead for the Greenville Drive here in Game 2 of the South Division Championship on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. We'll be right back. Bottom of the fifth inning. Back here in Fluor Field, Brian Rushing here with you. So glad that you could join us on this Thursday night. Wherever you are listening, however you're tuning in, whether you're in the car listening on your Bluetooth device or whether you've just got your phone propped beside of you in the living room somewhere throughout the Fruited Plain, thank you for tuning in. Skyler Hales, the 1-0 delivery. Fastball just misses off the outside edge. Hales, 6 foot 4 inches tall, 220 pounds, a fourth round draft pick by the Texas Rangers in this year's draft out of Santa Clara. Change up, cut on and missed. The 2-1 pitch from Hales, sets at the belt, delivers. That pitch misses high, the count goes to 3-1. Hales, they'll check down to third. They say that, in fact, Edinson Paulino, the batter, did commit to the swing, and I thought he did. Paulino will now ask for and receive timeout. He'll reset himself and get back into the box as he awaits a payoff pitch from Skyler Hales. Here's the delivery. Fastball cut on and missed. Skyler Hales has looked very impressive here in this outing for the Hickory Crawdads. And that'll bring up Cutter Coffee. Coffee 0 for 6 in the series, 0 for 2 in this game, but he was part of that middle infield that turned 2 in the top of the fifth to turn away the Hickory Crawdads. It's Hales, misses outside, drop down a little three-quarter action there. A 5-2 drive lead here in Game 2 of this series. The drive win, the series is over. And they will await the winner of Hudson Valley and Jersey Shore. Or they'll begin to make travel arrangements to get there for a Sunday Game 1 that will be played at the North Division home. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, the South Division gets Games 2 and, if necessary, 3. There was a time in the South Atlantic League to where the championship series was a 5-game series as well as the divisional series. No longer the case. It's the fastball at 95 miles an hour taken for a strike. 2-2 the count. It's that pitch lifted over to the right side, up and out of play. If you know anything about Ryobi Power Tools, they are probably one of the major reasons why this ballpark is as full as it is. They have a major picnic this evening. Is that ball lifted out to center field? Drifting back is Mateo. He'll make the catch with very little problem. In an outfield this big, you want somebody that can cover the ground. Daniel Mateo can do that in spades. He makes the catch. There's two down in the inning, and that brings up Alan Castro. I want to say hello to Madeline Mulkey, who's tuning in this evening back in Gastonia, North Carolina. It's the pitch cut on and missed by Alan Castro. Madeline, first of all, get to bed soon. It's about bedtime. But we thank you for tuning in this evening to the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. Is that fastball? 97 miles an hour from Hales. That's the high water mark for Hales in this outing. And that's going to force Castro to step out and call time. If you want to say hello to me during tonight's broadcast, you can find me on X, formerly Twitter, at What's Up B-Rush. It's that fastball. Misses just a bit high. 98 on that one. Hales is starting to get loose. Reach out to me at What's Up B-Rush. Of course, follow me if you would, please. That would be fantastic. As that ball lifted out to left center field, that's got a chance of getting up and out. It's going to go just off the tip top of the wall. Castro's only going to get a single out of it. When you hit the ball as hard as Castro did in that circumstance and it rebounds off the wall, it's going to kick off some 30 to 40 feet. Jesel Cepeda played that bounce perfectly and was able to get a good throw into second, holding Castro to a single. I'll bring up Brian Gonzalez with two down here in the bottom of the fifth inning. If you've got a question for me here at the broadcast location, it's the breaking ball cut on and missed. Would love to address the question. If you just want to say hello, you'd like to have me extend you a shout out, I can certainly do that. No problem at all. It's the pitch taken at the lower recesses of the strike zone to work the count to 0-2. The 0-2 offering from Hales. Fastball cut on and missed. Skyler Hales has been very impressive in this outing as he's got two scoreless innings under his belt. We go to the sixth. 5-2 the score in favor of the Greenville Drive here on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. Top of the sixth inning, a 5-2 Greenville Drive lead over the Hickory Crawdads as the first pitch from Robert Kwiatkowski. Is fouled back to the screen by Maximo Acosta. Robert Kwiatkowski out of Flowery Branch, Georgia, a non-drafted free agent from back in 2020, as Acosta dribbles that one toward the third base dugout where the Hickory Crawdads reside. 6'1", 190 pounds. 26 years old. There's not too many players that were actually born in the 1900s in this league right now. He being one of them, and actually has local ties to this area. Now, when you're from Flowery Branch, of course, that used to be, as I recall, maybe still is. It's the pitch taken down. Count goes to 1-2. 2-2, correction. Flowery Branch, I believe, was, if not is, the training camp home to the Atlanta Falcons. Well, Robert Kwiatkowski started his college career as that ball to the right side. Coffey can't get his hands on it. That ball's going to get away from Gonzalez. And reaching the first base is Maximo Acosta. We'll wait and see what the scoring is. They're going to give him a hit. Now, again, and I hate to belabor this point, the difference between between Coffey not getting charged for an error on that play that Cauley did get charged for was the fact that he didn't field the ball cleanly on the dive. That was it. I doubt it's going to be reviewed or anything, but it's just a very interesting call. The pitch misses outside. So Acosta over at first base leading off the sixth inning. Abimelech Ortiz, 0-for-2 in the ballgame, a pair of strikeouts, one looking, one swinging. Robert Kwiatkowski, as Ortiz fouls that one over on the first base side, started his college career as a JUCO performer at Spartanburg Methodist College in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Now, many angles to play as it relates to Spartanburg, South Carolina. Kwiatkowski sets. Kwiatkowski pulls the string a little bit on Ortiz. He swings and misses. Kwiatkowski played for the Pioneers at Spartanburg Methodist. Spartanburg, South Carolina, not too far away from this very ballpark. I would say 30 miles, tops. Kwiatkowski has the sign, delivers, pitch misses down. Count evens at 2-2. Kwiatkowski then went to Marshall University up in Huntington, West Virginia to play for the Thundering Herd. Now, oddly enough, through the recent transaction of the Hickory Crawdads and the Down East Wood Ducks away from the Texas Rangers parent club, as that pitch misses down and the count runs full, the Down East Wood Ducks in Kinston, North Carolina are going to play in the 2025 season in Spartanburg, South Carolina. They're going to build a brand new stadium. And at one time, what was the Spartanburg Phillies playing at Duncan Park, and back in 1993 in the South Atlantic League, baseball will be revisited. As Ortiz swings and misses, throw down to second, not in time. It's getting the stolen base is Maximo Acosta. And there's one down in the sixth, and that brings up Cody Freeman. Now, of course, Spartanburg will play as the single-A affiliate for the Texas Rangers, at least at this moment, in Spartanburg in the Carolina League. In fact, Spartanburg will be the farthest south and west member of the Carolina League, if memory serves. The first offering to Freeman misses. And when you know, I would not be correct in that. The Augusta Green Jackets are now members of the Carolina League, low-A affiliate for the Atlanta Braves. The Rome Braves are the high-A affiliate. I'd forgotten about Augusta. Pitch taken for a strike, works the count to 2-1. But it would make more of a geographical rival to have Spartanburg and Augusta together. And that will happen in the 2025 season. Kwiatkowski misses. The count goes to 3-1. Now this is an opportunity for the Crawdads here. A 5-2 ball game. One down, a runner at second. This club has 7 hits on the night. They had 4 in the entire game on Tuesday. That ball's going to be lifted foul straight back and over the press box. This game's had 7 runs in it, 11 hits. In the game on Tuesday, 5 runs, 10 hits for both clubs. So the payoff pitch is forthcoming to Cody Freeman, who's 1-for-2 in the ballgame. Here's the pitch. Slider misses outside, and he draws the walk. Kwiatkowski wanted the pitch, but it was not a strike. It was off the plate by a good piece. And with runners at first and second, that brings up Daniel Mateo. And this is the opportunity. I mean, the reality is Yordani Monegro went 5 innings. If the Greenville Drive hold on to this lead, he gets the win in tonight's contest. However, there's a lot of baseball left to be played in this game still. Going on the pitch, and the ball fouled over to the third base side. Maximo Acosta already with 1 stolen base in this inning. He would have easily stolen third if the throw had gone through to the catcher. Kwiatkowski sets. Here's the 0-1. Pitch catches the inner third for strike 2. Mateo falls behind 0-2. He's 0-for-2 in this ball game. And the pitch swung on and missed as Mateo goes down swinging. And with 2 down, that brings up Heysel Cepeda. Cepeda does have an RBI double to his credit. He got that in the 4th inning. An RBI, a double here, will easily score 1, could score 2. Freeman does have good speed. Kwiatkowski pours a fastball down the middle for strike 1. The Greenville Drive, if they win this game, the series comes to a close and they head north. The Hickory Crawdads, if they lose this game, the players head home. It's the pitch. They'll check to first base. They say he did not commit to the swing, much to the chagrin of the patrons here at Fluor Field. Take care of some major league scores here in just a little bit to keep you updated. I'm not going to follow the NFL score. I'll let you guys do that on your own time. It's only week 2. So that pitch fouled back to the screen, works the count to 1-2. Cody Freeman down at first, Maximo Acosta down at second with 2 down here in the top of the 6th. The Crawdads trying to claw back into this ballgame. A base hit here would go a long way in making that happen. Here's the pitch. Fastball misses up. Count evens at 2 apiece. That pitch catches the outside edge. Heysel Cepeda does not agree with the call, but it's a strikeout nevertheless. And Robert Kwiatkowski wiggles off the hook in the sixth inning. We go to the bottom of the sixth, a 5-2 score in favor of the Greenville Drive. We'll be back in just a moment on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. Johanse Morel comes on to pitch for the Hickory Crawdads here in the bottom of the sixth inning. A 5-2 lead for the Greenville Drive. So we'll have a pitch timer violation on Morel to make the count 1-0. So before Morel can even deliver a pitch, he gets called for a violation. The 1-0 offering now. That's a relatively new rule for this particular broadcaster. I've been around the block a long, long time, but in minor league baseball, that's the first violation I've ever run across as a broadcaster. That pitch taken for a strike works the count 2-1. What I'm saying, boys and girls, is that a mold? Morel winds up, fires, fastball fouled off the hands of Tyler Miller. Miller has walked and struck out in the ballgame. A 5-spot in the bottom of the second inning has been the difference for the Greenville Drive in this contest. As it chased Emiliano Teodo from the ballgame. This is the fourth pitcher for the Crawdads. As that pitch misses inside, count goes full to 3-2. So it'll be Miller, Rosario, and Campbell, 5-6-7 in the order. Now, I do have some folks I want to say hello to off of X or Twitter. As that pitch misses outside, Miller draws the leadoff walk. If you would like to say hello to me during the course of this broadcast on X, you can find me at What's Up B-Rush. Would love for you to reach out to me. Some of you have done that already, and I'm getting ready to acknowledge more of you that have done that today. So glad that you're tuning in to Crawdads Baseball for the first time since 2015. As that ball is ripped into right center field, Ronald Rosario will hit it off the Bon Secours sign. Rounding third and heading home is Miller. The throw is late, and it's 6-2 in favor of the Drive. Ronald Rosario hit that ball sharply to right center field. It one-hopped the Bon Secours sign. And the one thing that Tyler Miller was able to do in that scenario is if the ball hangs in the air, you have to play more conservative as you're wandering off the first base back. That ball was hit directly in front of him. He was able to gaze at the ball as it was leaving toward the outfield. He had that scan from the very beginning and got a great jump, and that's why he was able to score from first. As the pitch from Morrell misses. A four-run lead for the drive. Six to two. Morrell delivers that ball in on the hands of Christian Campbell. So I've had given you an opportunity to think back to a former Major League Baseball player that had some idiosyncrasies, we'll call it. That player, former Lexington Legends star and South Atlantic League All-Star, one Hunter Pence, who, by the way, had a pretty solid career as a major leaguer. Now, I have no idea whether Campbell will continue to make the progressions up the chain to ultimately become a major league player. All I know is Christian Campbell has the body type of a very young Hunter Pence from back in his early minor league days and has many of the same idiosyncrasies at the plate that Pence did. Pence was a gamer. Pence was not the prototype that hitters at the clinics and the camps would teach. But Campbell has been incredibly productive in this series. 1-for-2 in this ballgame, an RBI single. He's also scored all of that in that 5-run outburst in the second inning. Want to say hello to Ashley Pyatt this evening, checking out the action on the Hickory Crawdads radio network. As that pitch is going to get a piece of Campbell, and he's going to wander down to first base. Campbell gets everything moving toward the plate as the ball is arriving. So if the ball works into his body, there's really nowhere else for him to go. And that was seemingly destined to hit him on the arm, and it did. And he goes down to first base with no incident. 6 runs on 5 hits, 1 error for Greenville. 2-7-2 for the Hickory Crawdads. Chad Comer's going to come out and have a conversation, and I think that conversation's going to lead to a change. Johansson Morrell has been taken out of the game. We come back on the other side of the timeout. We'll tell you who's coming on to pitch for the Hickory Crawdads, a 6-2 drive lead. We'll be back in just a moment on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. Seth Clark is on the pitch for the Crawdads. Seth Clark, 6'3", 220-pound left-hander, is on to try to see if he can get the Crawdads out of this sixth inning. First pitch from Clark, fouled off at the plate. Clark out of Loganville, Georgia, played collegiately at Georgia State University in downtown Atlanta. The former Panther being picked up as a non-drafted free agent by the Texas Rangers organization in 2022. Went to the Arizona League as the 76-mile-an-hour changeup is way out in front. Gilberto Jimenez. Clark, fastball elevated. That was about as competent a job you could do as a reliever. Establish a first pitch for a strike, change up, get the hitter out in front, and then throw the elevated fastball for strike three. It's the first out of the inning. And that brings up Nick Decker. Decker in the ballgame is 0 for 2 officially, though I still think he probably should have been given credit for a hit. As the pitch cut on and missed, evens the count at 1 and 1. I'll catch up with all of the tweets from X here in just a moment. That ball hit sharply, fielded at first base by Abimelech Ortiz, and he doubles up the runner, Christian Campbell, at first to retire the side. Greenville adds to their lead. They get a run in the sixth. They lead 6-2. So we go to the seventh here on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. We'll be right back. Back here in Greenville, let's go ahead and catch up with some scores from around Major League Baseball before I catch up with what's on X this evening, or formerly Twitter. Top of the sixth inning, the New York Yankees have a 5-4 lead on the Boston Red Sox. Top of the sixth inning, the Texas Rangers trying to sweep the Blue Jays. They have a 4-2 advantage against Toronto right now. Top of the seventh, Rays and Orioles. That's a big series. The Rays just two games out of first place, playing in Baltimore. A four-game series between those clubs, tied at three in the seventh. The Twins have a 2-0 lead over the White Sox. The Pirates beat the Nationals earlier today. The Tigers salvaged a game out of the three against the Cincinnati Reds. Earlier today, the Red Sox blanked the Yankees 5-0. The Brewers finished off the Marlins 4-2. And the Mets beat the Diamondbacks 11-1. First pitch, Yossi Galan grounds out to shortstop. Edinson Paulino fields and fires to first. One pitch, one out. The Rockies game with the Giants, they're going to try to make that one up on the 16th, as it was postponed today because of inclement weather. And in Colorado, that could mean anything. Rain, sleet, hail, volcano, anything. Is that ball twisting foul? It's going to make its way into the seats. Cooper Johnson, 1-for-2 in this ball game, singled in the fifth inning. He was erased on the ground ball double play. Top of the seventh inning, a 6-2 lead for the Greenville Drive, as it is now or never, pretty much, for the Crawdads. A loss tonight ends the season. A win? First of all, it'd be quite a win. Second of all, it forces Game 3 tomorrow. We would be on around 6:50 for that Game 3 if it happens. What is scheduled to be a 7:05 first pitch. Kwiatkowski delivers. That ball bounced into the third base dugout. A couple of Hickory Crawdads players scramble. Want to say hello this afternoon, or this evening, I should say, to Thomas Bartlett. Thomas Bartlett checking out the action again. Thomas, thank you for doing so. In all of my baseball travels, some of the most fun that I ever had was playing at Rube Walker Stadium against the Lenora Oilers. Those were truly good times. As that fastball misses up, count evens at 2-2. So, Thomas, thank you so much for tuning in this evening. I got a follow this evening on X. I'll get to in just a minute after Kwiatkowski delivers the 2-2 offering. It's the slider. Misses down. Want to say hello to at Nettimon. At Nettimon, thank you for the follow. I have reciprocated. If you'd like to follow me, all you got to do is go to X at What's Up B Rush. Johnson smokes it out to short, fielded by Paulino again. The throw across in time to Gonzalez, and there's two down. Top of the order as Cam Cauley will step to the plate with two down here in the seventh. Nettimon followed up with he's enjoying the broadcast, and I got to be honest with you. I love the opportunity. I was hoping that at some point radio may return in some form or fashion to LP Franz Stadium and to the Hickory Crawdads, and I'm so grateful that I've been given the opportunity to make it a reality. It's the pitch poured right down the middle, evens the count at 1-1. Kwiatkowski trying to get through the seventh inning. If he does, that'll pretty much spell the end of the evening for him, and then they can set up their bullpen going eighth and ninth inning. A 6-2 lead for the drive. This is outside. Count goes to 2-1. Again, if you'd like to say hello on X at What's Up B-Rush, would love to say hello to you over the air. If you've got a question, feel free. Would love to address it. It's the Pete as the pitch misses down. Strong possibility that in the Hickory clubhouse there could be some listening of the broadcast as the pitch cut on and missed. As Pete and Marlin may be in the clubhouse right now, getting some cleaning done after that playoff game on Tuesday. Those guys work long hours. Having been in that line of work myself at one point, that is a thankless job. Those guys do great work. A full count. Kwiatkowski has the sign, winds and fires. The payoff lifted to the right field corner, drifting over is Gilberto Jimenez. He makes the catch just in front of the pesky pole. And we go to the stretch. A 6-2 lead for the Greenville Drive. We'll be back in just a bit on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. Bottom of the seventh inning, the Greenville Drive, taking advantage of a five-run second inning, have a 6-2 lead. Seth Clark will be on for his what could be first full inning of work. He was very good in coming on in the sixth inning to stifle any sort of momentum that Greenville had tried to build in that sixth inning. Edinson Paulino, Cutter Coffey, Alan Castro batting here in the bottom of the seventh. Fastball taken for a strike. Count evens at 1-1. Slider taken for strike two. Here's the delivery from Clark again, poured right down the middle. Edinson Paulino was overmatched from the jump. He strikes out, first out of the seventh inning. Seth Clark, a left-hander, has a very closed delivery. He begins with his back foot on the first base side of the pitcher's rubber. It's pretty square until he comes set, and then he overlaps his right foot, or his right leg, to the point where he's basically ready to throw to first base, even though he's not going to. Lifts his leg and goes very quietly to the plate and kind of throws across his body a little bit, which gives him a different action with the fastball and the slider. Makes it very difficult if you're a left-handed batter to stay in long enough to track the pitch. Cutter Coffey 0-for-3 in this ballgame. It's a Greenville Drive club that in the second half finished 27-39. Quite a contrast considering the Hickory Crawdads finished 43-21 in the second half. This club was very good in the second half of the season, and they had to be to hold off the Bowling Green Hot Rods. The Hot Rods were one of the better teams in this league, and they're not in the playoffs. As that ball dribbled out to third, the play made at third by Cody Freeman, the throw in time, and there's two down. Alan Castro steps to the plate. Castro has been hit by a pitch. He struck out and he's singled. 2-for-7 in the series. Castro got Greenville on the board in the fourth inning on Tuesday night with a bomb to right field. Changeup cut on and missed. The Crawdads have out-hit the Drive in this game. That did not happen on Tuesday. Another changeup, cut on and missed. Now Castro is going to step out and call time. And now he's back in the box and ready for the 0-2. Clark is making quick work of this team in the seventh as that pitch misses down. Clark looks in for the sign. Here's the pitch. Fastball right down the middle. Two strikeouts in the frame to go with a ground ball. A good effort from Seth Clark. We go to the eighth inning. 6-2 in favor of Greenville. We'll be back in just a bit on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. eighth inning here at Fluor Field. Brian Rushing here with you. So glad that you could join us tonight. Tonight's playoff action on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. It's brought to you by Allison White Property Management and Realty, Duke's Restaurant and Wine Bar, Holler Financial Group, Sheds Direct, Pepsi, Whitfield's Flowers and More, and WHKY Talk Radio, AM 1290, 102.3 FM. Alejandro Osuna will face off against Frank Hermann. Hermann on a rehab assignment here with the Greenville Drive, and it couldn't have come at a better time for this bullpen. It's Frank Hermann. Is a big leaguer. Was originally drafted by the New York Yankees. Of course, now with the Boston Red Sox, and he's quickly ahead 0-2 on that 85-mile-an-hour slider. Osuna, after getting the double in the first inning, he struck out twice in the ballgame. He's had a tough time of it in the second and third at-bats, and it's not getting any easier with the big leaguer Frank Hermann on the bump. Fastball, 97, misses up. I had a chance to talk about Frank Hermann yesterday on the morning show that I co-host in Gastonia, North Carolina. Is that pitch taken for strike three at the knees? Osuna did not like the call. There's one down in the eighth, and that brings up Maximo Acosta. When you see guys that are typically playing at the high level throwing 97-98, well, you appreciate the arm speed. You appreciate the ability to throw at that high of velocity. Emiliano Theodo throwing 100-101 tonight. Even though the results weren't necessarily there for him this evening, it's impressive to watch someone throw that hard. And then you see Frankie Hermann. Hermann looks like a big leaguer on the bump. It's a different movement. It's a different action. It's still 97-98, but it just looks different. It has to. It's Hermann evens the count with the pitch outside. One down here in the top of the eighth inning. Hermann pitched an eighth inning on Tuesday night against the Crawdads. He faced three batters. He struck out two. Maximo Acosta bounced back to the pitcher's mound on Tuesday night. That fastball misses up at 97 miles an hour. And one of the ways that I would describe Hermann is it's easy cheese. He just throws hard, but it's very under control. It's that fastball cut on and missed. There's two down in the eighth. Time is getting tight for the Crawdads. Two down, Abimelech Ortiz takes a first pitch strike, off speed, 83 miles an hour. The 0-1, Ortiz way out in front, hit it off the end of the bat, pulled it foul, and now the count is 0-2. And again, that pitch was just 87. Ortiz was sitting on the fastball, and he didn't get the fastball. At some point, you know it's coming. Now you're in a very defensive posture. Here's the 0-2. Hermann, slider cut on and missed. He strikes out the side in the eighth inning. And as they play Sweet Caroline, we'll step away. 6-2 Greenville Drive lead. We'll be back in just a bit. Bottom of the eighth inning. Seth Clark back on the bump for the Hickory Crawdads, and as effective as he's been, why not? As he has been rock steady in this appearance for the Crawdads. Brian Gonzalez lifts that ball toward the seats. A Boston Red Sox tradition has become a Greenville Drive tradition here in the bottom of the eighth inning, or mid-eighth, as they sing Sweet Caroline. Fastball, they're still singing it. If you're a Red Sox fan, and I have some that are friends of mine, they love it. Others, not so much. As Clark misses. A 6-2 Greenville lead here in the bottom of the eighth inning. As that ball popped up. That one's going to take a little bit to come down, but it's going to come down out of play behind home plate. The pitch from Clark, rolled foul, past Iggy Suarez, the manager of the Greenville Drive. For the Drive, 6 runs on 5 hits, 1 error. For the Crawdads, 2 runs on 7 hits, 2 errors. As that pitch cut on and missed, Gonzalez goes down swinging. That's 4 strikeouts for Seth Clark in his effort this evening. Tyler Miller, who walked his last time up in the sixth inning, he scored the 6th run of the ball game for the Drive. This entire game has been basically predicated on the big inning that Greenville got in the second. A 1-0 Hickory Crawdads lead was turned around pretty quickly. A 2-run base hit from Christian Campbell got him on the board. And then a bases-clearing double from Edinson Bolino made it 5-1. It's not really been closer since then. 2-1 count. So here's the pitch from Seth Clark. Clark has the sign, comes set, the 2-2 offering. That ball's in on the thumbs, fouled off against the screen. One of the things that's been added here at the ballpark in recent years is the netting goes all the way down toward the corners now. As Miller drives that ball to center field, drifting back as Mateo. He'll make the catch a couple steps shy of the track. And there's 2 down. Miller stung it well, and Mateo had to get on his horse for a little bit. But this is a big ballpark, especially in center field. Talked about it earlier in the broadcast. 420, just right of center field. I mean, it takes a poke to get it to that part of the ballpark. Ronald Rosario had an RBI double in the sixth inning. One ball, 1 strike count. Clark works it inside, chases Rosario off the plate. Top of the ninth inning will look like this. Cody Freeman, Daniel Mateo, and Jesel Cepeda to bat for the Crawdads, or at least that's the scheduled hitters in the ninth inning. Fastball misses up. Count evens at 2-2. Seth Clark wastes no time. He gets the baseball. He gets the sign. He goes to work. He delivers in about 10 seconds. Tops. He has the baseball. The clock starts. In just a moment, Rosario called time. 3-ball, 2-strike count with two down here in the bottom of the eighth inning. The Crawdads trying to keep it a 6-2 game and then take their chances in the ninth. Here's the pitch. Changeup cut on and missed. Seth Clark has been phenomenal. The star on the bump for the Crawdads in this contest. We go to the ninth inning here on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. Ninth inning here at Fluor Field. It's Brock Bell is on the pitch for the Greenville Drive. It's the first offering. Cody Freeman taken for strike one. The Crawdads need something of a miracle here in the ninth. They need a big old crooked number. It's Brock Bell, right-hander. Just getting back to baseball is Bell. The big right-hander, 93-mile-an-hour fastball past Freeman. Freeman calls time with the count 1-2. Scheduled hitters Freeman, Daniel Mateo, and Jesel Cepeda. 5-6-7 for the Crawdads. As that ball lifted out into right field as Freeman reached out and got it. And he's got himself his second hit of the ballgame. He's reached for three times in this ballgame. And he leads off the ninth inning. That'll bring up Daniel Mateo. Mateo's 0-for-3 in the contest. He struck out his last two times. Here's the pitch from Bell. That ball chopped high over to third. Miller's got one play, and his throw's going to be off the bag. It's Gonzalez had to go airborne. We'll see how they score this one. They're going to call it a hit. Mateo is going to get credit for an infield single. So back-to-back knocks for the Crawdads. That will send Heysel Cepeda to the plate. Well, it's a start. It's not nothing. Brock Bell, the son, our former big leaguer Jay Bell, who spent time with the Pittsburgh Pirates as a player, spent some time working in Major League Baseball front offices, I believe, as well. Out of the Tampa, Florida area. It's the fastball, 92, misses. And now the count is 3-0. And this is a very uncomfortable scenario for the drive. You've got a four-run advantage. You want to give Bell an opportunity to close this thing out, but it's happened to become a very inauspicious start. And now the Crawdads have the bases loaded with nobody out. And Bob Kipper, the pitching coach, is going to come out and have a conversation with one Brock Bell. And Jose Galan will step to the plate with nobody out and the bases loaded. And if the drive were to opt to bring in another option as a reliever, this would now become a save situation. And again, if you're a Crawdads fan, which I'm assuming that the vast majority of the audience here is, the door is now slightly ajar. So even in a scenario to where it was going to take a small miracle for this to happen, well, the early beginnings of a small miracle has, in fact, set itself up. Is that ball chopped foul? By comparison, when you've seen a night filled with 97s and 98s and you see Frank Hermann strike out the side in the eighth inning, Brock Bell does not light up the radar gun the way that we've seen other pitchers. But the changeup works. 83 miles an hour, and the count is quickly 0-2. Now again, if Cepeda gets the walk, and he did, Galan steps to the plate, a base hit, possibly scores two, and the lead is cut in half with nobody out and a couple of runners on. Fastball, 92, cut on and missed. Galan strikes out swinging. And there's one down in the ninth. And that brings up Cooper Johnson. Now, Johnson has hit the ball pretty well this evening. He's popped to the pitcher in shallow right field. He's laced a single into left field. And he hit a ball pretty hard right at the shortstop, Edinson Paulino. Another hard hit ball gets through, and now we're talking. It's that pitch cut on and missed. As Bell went off speed on the inner third, Johnson couldn't stay back. The 0-1 slider misses outside. And again, if the ball gets away from Rosario in this situation, Ronald Rosario, the catcher for the drive, a run could score and put two runners in scoring position. As that slider misses down, the count goes to 2-1. And on deck is Cam Cauley in the top of the Crawdads order. Here's the pitch from Bell. Sat ball lifted toward the seats over on the first base side. They'll make their way to those seats. And the count evens at 2-2. So glad that you could join us here on this Thursday night. enjoying a little South Atlantic League baseball with us. Game two of the South Division Championship Series. Bell has the sign. Johnson waits, the 2-2. Fastball misses up. The count is full. And at this juncture, surely, and I can't tell because of my line of sight to the bullpen, I can't tell if there's anybody throwing. But you would think that someone is clearly throwing in the bullpen for the drive. Here's the payoff. Johnson's going to waste that one. Gets it into the seats on the right side. If Bell were to lose Johnson in this situation, I cannot imagine that Iggy Suarez isn't bounding to the top of the steps to bring on another pitcher. Here's the payoff. Sad ball. Driven out to right field. Twisting toward the corner. What could happen here? As the catch is made in right field, a runner will score. Another runner advances to third. It's the second out of the inning, but it's now a 6-3 ball game. Cooper Johnson tried to curl that one around the pesky pole, and Gilberto Jimenez was able to navigate there about two steps shy of the wall to make the catch. And that'll bring up Cam Cauley in a 6-3 ball game. It's the second RBI of the series for Cooper Johnson. As Cauley fouls it back into the seats in the suites area in the second bowl. One out away are the Greenville Drive from punching a ticket to the South Atlantic League Championship. Bell with a breaking ball. Works the count to 0-2. The crowd getting on their feet. They can sense the South Division Championship is at hand. Bell sets, has the sign. Here's the pitch. Fouled it straight back. And now the crowd's going to have to ramp it up again. The clapping will begin. It will build to a crescendo as Bell delivers the pitch. He looks in for the sign. Cauley in the box. Here's the pitch. Catches the outside edge, and that'll do it. The Greenville Drive have won the South Division Championship, a 2-0 sweep over the Hickory Crawdads. When we come back on the other side of the timeout, we'll have the postgame as the Greenville Drive, winners of the South Atlantic League South Division here in 2023. We'll be back here in just a bit on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. Yeah. back here at Fluor Field. The game just coming to a close. A 6-3 win for the Greenville Drive on this Thursday night. They advance to the South Atlantic League Championship Series as they sweep the Hickory Crawdads 2-0 in this best of three South Division Championship Series. Brian Rushing here with you. So glad that you could join us on this Thursday night. In a game that took 2 hours and 37 minutes, just like Tuesday night, that was the game time for the matchup of Game 1 at L.P. Franz Stadium. The Hickory Crawdad season comes to a close. As here's the unfortunate numbers for the Crawdads this evening. 3 runs on 9 hits, 2 errors. Greenville, 6 runs on 5 hits, 1 error. Is getting the win for the Drive. Yordani Monegro, as he goes to 1-0 in the playoffs, taking the loss is Emiliano Teodo, as he closes out his season, losing his final start of 2023. This game started out very well for Hickory, as they were able to take advantage of a double down into the left field corner from Alejandro Asuno. Maximo Acosta had a ball drive into the left center field gap. It was cut off by the center fielder, Alan Castro. And Acosta, maybe a little bit too aggressive, tried to make it a double after Osuna scored. He was cut down by about 20 feet. Abimelech Ortiz would strike out, and that ended the first inning. And even though the Hickory Crawdads got a run on the board, the second inning rolled around and things just seemed a little off. As Greenville started out the second inning, Brian Gonzalez reached on an error as the ball bounded toward the second base bag. Cam Cawley tried to maneuver around the second base bag, field the ball and throw. The throw was offline. Gonzalez was able to reach. They charged Cawley with an error. Then Tyler Miller would walk. Ronald Rosario would ground to shortstop. The slow roller toward shortstop would force the runners to get to second and third. Christian Campbell would get a 2-RBI single. And that would be followed by a Gilberto Jimenez single. A Nick Decker reaching on an error on a ball that I still think to this moment should have been called a hit. But that's neither here nor there at this point. With the bases loaded, Edinson Paulino cleared the bases with a double. And it was now all of a sudden a 5-1 ball game. And that was effectively the ball game. So the Hickory Crawdads were able to score a single run in the fourth. They scored a single run in the ninth, and they got no closer as they lose this ball game 6-3 to the Greenville Drive. So the Greenville Drive, who finished the regular season 63-69, they're going to the South Atlantic League Championship Series against either Jersey Shore or Hudson Valley. We'll try to get to that score here in just a moment. For the Hickory Crawdads, a team that won 15 straight games in the middle of the season, finishing 15 games over 500, the second half champions, their season comes to a close. What I'll do right now is try to see if I can reset the scoreboard. Won't have to do so, as Hudson Valley beats Jersey Shore at home 6-2, forcing a Game 3 tomorrow. So the North Division not settled tonight. They'll have to wait till tomorrow, or it'll be a final game between Jersey Shore and Hudson Valley. It'll also give me a moment to take a look at the Single-A playoffs. The game is in the bottom of the ninth. Carolina with a 5-4 lead over Down East with two down in the bottom of the ninth. course, Down East won the first game of the series. If they were somehow able to come back and win this ball game, they would sweep away the Mudcats and would play in the Carolina League Championship. A Carolina win would force a final game three in that series tomorrow at Granger Stadium in Kinston, North Carolina. We're not going to stick around to see if that final happens. If it does happen before we get out of here, we'll certainly let you know. I'll keep this page up as there's now two down with runners at the corners and a 1-1 count. Before we do get out of here, I want to thank all the good people that made this playoff broadcast possible, the two games that we were here. So I want to thank Allison White, Property Management and Realty, Duke's Restaurant and Wine Bar, Holler Financial Group, Sheds Direct, Pepsi, Whitfield's Flowers and More, and WHKY Talk Radio, AM 1290 and 102.3. Thank you to our sponsors for making the playoffs on internet radio happen on Tuesday and Thursday. The first broadcast that the Crawdads have had since 2015. And I got to be honest with you, I was very happy to be a part of it. Thank you for allowing me to spend a little time with you during this playoff run for the Hickory Crawdads. As the Hickory Crawdads losing at home on Tuesday night 3-2, lose 6-3 in this season's finale, being swept out of the playoffs by the Greenville Drive. I can tell you that the Down East Wood Ducks just scored to tie the game at 5 apiece. Runners at first and second, two down in the bottom of the ninth. So they will, at the very least, go to extras in that contest. So as we bid you adieu this evening from Fluor Field here in Greenville, South Carolina, a lot of other folks to thank for making this happen. I want to thank Douglas LoCascio for giving me the opportunity to broadcast these games to you. I want to thank all of the folks, the technical staff at Stream Guys Audio Streaming, for helping to get us up and running in very short order. Thank you guys for making that a reality. But most of all, we want to thank you for tuning in this evening and on Tuesday night as we were able to premiere Hickory Crawdads baseball for this 2023 playoffs. What happens moving forward? I have no idea. I hope when we get to April of next year, you guys will hear a very familiar voice talking to you in April. But until then, we hope you have a fantastic evening. We'll see you through the offseason as we get ready for April of 2024 at LP Franz Stadium. For everybody with the Hickory Crawdads organization, this is Brian Rushing signing off. We'll see you next time on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. Good night, everybody.